Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Keep your money local. Bring it home to a Wintrust Community Bank, home of Cubs checking with free ATMs nationwide. Find out more at Wintrust.com/Cubs. Member FDIC.
Welcome to the Cubs Talk Podcast, presented by Wintrust. Luke Stuckmeyer and David Kaplan here to talk a little Cubs baseball. With the Cubs convention just a couple days away, we have a special guest to get you ready.
The 2-2 pitch. There's a drive deep right. Cubs win! Cubs win! On a grand slam by Hayward! Rizzo! There's a drive out into left center. We are tied. Whoa, baby. Whoa, Bodie. In the air to right.
Go ahead.
Ball. Game. Over. Deep drive. Yeah. We're going to finish. It's over. Cubs win. Cubs win. David Bodie again. Ground ball up the middle. Cubs win. Cubs win. Baez scores on the Zobrist single. Cubs win on an 0-2 pitch. Albert Almora.
Yes, he is the TV voice of your Chicago Cubs. He is Len Casper. Len, Happy New Year. I think we just had the whole season put together right there in
a microcosm.
In one clip.
Hey, Luke. Hey, Cap. Yeah, if you base 2018 on those clips, it was a really good year. But I think most Cub fans and I think the Cubs themselves would tell you that the way it finished was far from great. And I think there's going to be a lot of anticipation for what this group will do in 2019. And it'll be a very similar-looking group, it appears. And I'm always excited to get things ready in spring training, and it's not that far off. As you mentioned, the convention coming up. And the division's going to be very tough. I think what the Reds have done, they've got a new manager. They made that big trade with the Dodgers. How will Milwaukee respond after last year? Cardinals now have Paul Goldschmidt on their roster. So it's going to be a really fascinating spring leading up to opening day, to say the least.
Len, what do you think of the moves made by the teams in the Central so far this offseason?
Well, I'm not that surprised. And I thought top to bottom, you could have argued that the NL Central was the toughest division in baseball last year, especially the last place team, the Reds. After that rough start, we're very competitive. The Cubs have had issues in the past with the Pirates. The Cardinals, I thought were pretty good after they made the managerial change. And then the Brewers winning, 8 in a row to end the season and win the division. And they might have been the best team in the National League. The Dodgers beat them in 7 games. But I think when it was all said and done, the Cubs probably finished where they should have. What hurts the most is that they had a lead in the division for so long. But when one's all said and done, I think certainly the Brewers were the best team on paper. And then they went out and they just grabbed Yasmani Grandal after a big offseason last year when they picked up Yelich and Kane. I still think for Milwaukee it's going to come down to pitching. Their starting pitching, they were able to survive last year and get the ball into the hands of arguably the best bullpen in baseball. And I think ultimately for them, that's the big question in 2019.
Len, when you look at the narrative that's out there, it's so different from what reality is. There's this narrative of you had social media or baseball experts opining around the country. The Cubs are out of money. They have no money. They can't spend any money. But the fact of the matter is they're going to be significantly over $200 million in payroll commitments. Where are you on where this team is and how far you think they are from being a serious world championship contender, or are they there right now?
Well, I think they should be there right now, and I think they feel they are, especially, again, based on a 95-win season cap. I think the biggest thing to let people know, and you know, I'm not a math major and I don't have all the numbers here, but as time goes on, these kids are not kids anymore. And as you go through the arbitration process and the fact that you don't have a lot of long-term deals among this group, certainly Anthony Rizzo is the exception, signed pretty early to a very favorable contract from the team's perspective, but they're all making money now. And I think fans tend to view off seasons in terms of who's in and who's out, right? As opposed to the same guy coming back and making $5 or $6 million more than he made the year before. And the price of business in this game today is that when players get into their fourth, fifth, sixth years, they're going to make a lot of money before they become free agents. And we've long talked about the window with all these young players under the Cubs' control, and they're still in the middle of that, but they're tending to get now toward the end of that window. And these guys are making money now. So, you know, I think winning in 2016, not only was it great for all the obvious reasons that the Cubs won the World Series for the first time in 108 years, but the value they were able to get out of all those young players, it's now more incumbent upon those guys to really perform up to their contracts. And I think we've all heard Theo Epstein talk very bluntly about that, that this is a really important year for a lot of those 24, 25-year-old guys to now really get into the primes of their careers. And, you know, nobody would say they didn't earn their money by any stretch, but it's about getting production commensurate to, you know, what the Cubs have to lay out in terms of those dollars that you mentioned.
We're talking with the TV voice of your Chicago Cubs, Len Kasper, and if this wasn't already, a five-star podcast. Now Kelly Kroll's in the room, and she's here too. Kelly, welcome.
Thanks, guys. Lynn, great to hear your voice. How you been doing this off season? I can't wait to see you in a couple of days, or I
hey,
guess
Kelly,
a week.
It's a longer off season than we're used to. It ended several weeks earlier than we wanted, and typically it takes me until about December before I feel like I'm recovered from a season. I was ready and recovered way too early this year, so I'm very excited about getting back at it this year.
You're raring to go. I hear you. Same here. But I just heard you in answering Cap's question feel like this team is in a good place for the most part. If there was one area that you felt like they could improve on just to really, you know, have everything in place when April rolls around, what would that be?
Well, for me, it's the bullpen because of Brandon Morrow's situation. He probably, based on what Theo has said, won't be ready on opening day. And they kind of had to mix and match and scramble without him at the end of the year last year. I think, and anyone can chime in if they disagree with this, but I think we all kind of assumed that Jesse Chavez would be back. He really loved being a Cub. It seemed like a good fit. And he made it sound like it was Cubs or retirement, and he ended up getting a free agent contract elsewhere. So without Chavez, Morrow, you have to plan for him missing more time this year. Carl Edwards Jr. had kind of an up-and-down season. Pedro Strop, I thought, was terrific when he was healthy, and give him a lot of credit for coming back and pitching in the wild card game after missing all that time. But when you think about where the game is today with how important bullpens are and what it looks like for the Cubs, I don't think you can ever have enough guys to close out games. So that's probably the big area the Cubs are probably looking at right now to make sure they shore that up before spring training.
Sure.
Len, the jump that Javi Baez made last year obviously was incredible. Cubs fans loved it. The Cubs loved it. He went all the way to an MVP candidate. Who could make a jump similar to that in 2019, or was that jump just so rare that we won't see that again for a while?
Good question. You know, I think bounce back years, so to speak, for a guy who was an all-star but struggled in the second half, Wilson Contreras. I think there's a lot more in there for Albert Almora. But to give you a specific answer to that question, guys, I'm still in on Kyle Schwarber. I think that he's got a 35 to 40 homer season with a higher batting average in there. We know he has a very good ability at getting on base. But to me, there's just so much in there offensively for Kyle Schwarber. I think he would be my bust-out candidate for this year.
When you look at Chris Bryant, I know the Cubs privately felt the day they drafted him, probably long-term he's an outfielder. He has been able to stay at third base. And while maybe not Nolan Arenado good, he's still a pretty solid player over there. Do you think at all long-term they still look at him as a potential outfielder?
I think it's possible. I think it would depend on if there are other infield options. I think Chris likes moving around. So as long as he's playing for Joe Maddon, for instance, I do think he's going to play, you know, two or three games at first base, a handful of games in the corner outfield spots. But I think Chris still views himself generally as a third baseman. And I agree with you, Cap. I think he's been better defensively and has not been a liability that maybe we thought he might be. We always thought he would out-hit any sort of defensive issues, but I like him at third base. But my gut tells me that versatility is good for him, and I think it'll continue to be that way generally as his career moves on. I think it's good for him, too, because whether he's a Cub for life or does go into free agency and ends up somewhere else, I think having all those things on his resume is a really good thing.
Lynn, you've hit on a lot of the position players now with Luke and Cap. What do you think, or how would you assess the starting rotation if those guys all come in healthy when you look at, of course, what John Lester did a year ago and then what we saw from Cole Hamels in the back half of the season was really incredible. How do you see that playing out if they have all those guys healthy to begin the year?
Well, I feel really good about the core of that group with Lester, Hendricks, Hamels, and Quintana. The big question mark is obviously Yu Darvish. What they can count on from him, I think, remains to be seen. I think it's all up to him at this point. And certainly, you want to make sure he's 100% healthy. That's the first part of the equation. And then beyond that, getting back to being effective. And the other question, we may not really ever have an answer. Were any of those physical issues lingering before he actually went on the DL and his season ended? And can you pinpoint some of the struggles to the injury? Nobody might ever know the answer to that, and I think the proof will be in his future performance. And if all of a sudden he gets back to being the Yu Darvish at his best, there may be something to be said for the fact that he might not have been 100% physically healthy at the beginning of last year. Tyler Chatwood, you know, I don't know what their plans are for him. I'm guessing he'll stretch out as a starter. But you would like to think there's more in there for him and the fact that he has to throw some strikes. He could be an interesting bullpen option with the stuff he has and what we talked about earlier with Morrow out, that you can never have enough guys. But I feel really good about the top four, and as long as they're healthy, I think Joe will feel very good about that group.
Good stuff so far with Len Casper, the voice of your Chicago Cubs. Coming up next on the Cubs Talk podcast, we open up the Twitter mailbag to you, the listeners. We're going to ask your questions to Len after the break.
Cubs authentic fans, the My Teams app by NBC Sports is your home for Cubs highlights, articles, and more. For the best Cubs coverage anytime, anywhere, download the My Teams app today.
Okay, it's time for Chicago's favorite game. Second favorite game. After beer money,
after
Kelly.
After beer money, right.
It's time for Chicago's second favorite game, Ask Len. We opened up the Twitter mailbag. We got a couple questions for you, rapid fire. Are you ready, Len?
Okay, let me have it.
Okay. Brock Johnson 5 asks, who gets the majority of leadoff opportunities if the Cubs don't add another impact bat there this offseason?
I'm gonna ride the fence a little bit. I'm gonna go Hap and Zobrist will get the most. Maybe equally as much.
I like it. Like okay, that. Lynn, I like this one from the Lily Bros. If you could go back in time and watch any baseball game in person, what game would you go see?
Oh, wow.
I know.
I have to do this quickly, though, right?
Well, you know.
We could take a little time on this one.
Take a little time and think about it. It's a really good question, I think.
You know what's funny? And I don't have a dog in this fight at all in terms of the two teams.
Sure.
Game 7 of the 1960 World Series. There's just something about Mazeroski's home run, Pirates beating the Yankees at Forbes Field. Like, I'll go Game 7, 1960.
That's a great one.
Okay, if you could go back and call any game in history, what would it be?
This is from At the Cap Man.
This is from At the Cap Man.
Right off.
I'll go Bobby Thompson's shot heard around the world because my hero, the late Ernie Harwell, called that game on television. Russ Hodges had the famous radio call, which might be the most famous baseball call of all time. The Giants win the pennant, the Giants win the pennant, but that would have been a fun one to call.
Absolutely.
I like Jody Fisher has one. She wants to know, this is a little off the rails, what's the best beer to use for marinating brats?
I would have no idea. I am not a brat maker.
Oh.
So I wish I could answer.
Okay.
What's your go-to, now, if you were grilling out, Lynn, what's your go-to music genre or band that you would have playing in the background?
Oh, man. I'm up for just about anything, but my wife loves the 70s channel on XM, so we'll
go
with Yacht Rock.
All right. At Luke Stuckmeyer wants to know, Len, you recently tweeted that great bed sheets were underrated. I completely agree with you. What thread count, and do you go Egyptian cotton, silk, or flannel?
Everybody wants to know. Come on,
oh,
Len.
Oh, my gosh. That's way too specific, but I guess I'll go with the Egyptian cotton.
Okay.
I do have a tip for you. We got a heated mattress pad, and we plugged it into a smart outlet in our house. So when we leave dinner, if we're at our dinner, we literally on my phone could turn the bed on and you come home and it's already heated up for you.
Boy, cold feet getting in bed. There's nothing worse.
I thought for sure a MyPillow ad was coming up, but
me
that's
too.
Not our sponsor yet on the podcast. At Poppin' Fresh wants to know, after the Thompson Twins cover last year at Hot Stove Cool Music, what other covers might you be considering for this year?
Good question. I would say we might do some 90s stuff, maybe Matthew Sweet, Girlfriend, which is a great party track. And the Pretenders are always fun, so we may drop in some Pretenders.
Len gave me a good one that I have on my phone, Arcade Fire.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Arcade Fire.
I got that from you.
Very nice.
So, Mr. Greg, am I saying that right? You think at Mr. Greg?
So, yeah.
Okay, bear with me here, Lynn. Has anyone ever brought up the possibility of making a John Smoltz type move with either Hamels or Lester, moving them closer at the tail end of their career if Darvish is healthy and we could fill a potential need from a strength? Does that make sense to you, that question?
I would say in Lester's case, that would be a no for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I think he is very routine oriented and always views himself as a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
I think Hamels would be a possibility in a pinch, but not long-term. I think maybe in a postseason setting. But for me, those two guys are generally starters. Darvish, to me, would be a better candidate among the three just because of his stuff.
Okay, Len, last one. Johnny Maz 7 wants to know, what's your go-to Pearl Jam album and why?
It's got to be the debut record, 10, right? Was it?
Yep.
The first one, because I was in college at the time, and I probably could give you the lyrics of every song on it. So I would have to go with the debut album.
This was a lot of fun. Len Casper, voice of your Chicago Cubs. Len, I assume you're going to be at Cubs convention, right?
I will be there.
All right. We'll be looking for you. We'll see you at spring training, and we'll see you, of course, at Wrigley Field. Thanks, Len. Appreciate it. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Thanks, everybody.
Thanks, Len.
Appreciate it.
Can't wait to see you.
Well, that's a wrap for this edition of the Cubs Talk podcast presented by Wintrust. Cubs convention right around the corner. You can expect a bunch of podcasts coming in the upcoming week. Make sure you download the My Teams app to be up to date and ready for the next one to drop.